Thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show. Check out faithonthefieldshow.com for all our previous episodes and merchandise and see a list of all of our awesome sponsors. Please take a minute to download, subscribe, and review our show and tell us if you love it or however you feel about it. This episode is brought to you by Rick Santella, financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. Call Rick at 215-845-6018. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and Doug Horton. We're getting set for Championship Sunday in the NFL. It is always, for me at least, one of the best days in sports. First up, they're going to be the LA Rams at the New Orleans Saints in the NFC title game. It will not be the Philadelphia Eagles at LA. Imagine that, because it would have been a 3:30 game, so it would have been 12:30 out on the West Coast for the Eagles against the Rams, but it didn't work out that way. Then it's going to be the New England Patriots for the 8th straight year in the AFC title game. On a road, though, this time at Kansas City. It's going to be frigid at Arrowhead Stadium. And then we'll get to Atlanta in Super Bowl Sunday, but this weekend we'll find out which two teams will get there. Should be a great weekend here in Philly. Eagle season ended. It was a tough loss to the New Orleans Saints. I knew it was going to be a difficult game. It didn't play out the way I expected. It had to be gut-wrenching for both of you guys. It was actually gut-wrenching for my wife, Remy, who watched the entire game. And afterwards,
and it was her birthday, by the way.
It was her birthday.
On her birthday.
Watched the entire game
fan.
And then declared, I'm done with football. This is the first time.
Okay, not a good fan.
I invested 4 hours of my life into the game, and she didn't get the outcome she wanted. And she kept looking at me going, like, why are you – why? And you were just so right. You were right. You loved that you were right. And I'm like, it's not about right or wrong. It's just about watching the game analytically. I knew it was tough for you, though, Doug.
It's so tough. It still is tough. You know, and they had the ball right there. And you think that if Jeffrey catches that ball, that they're just going to take it in the end zone. And it was such
when they missed the field goal, right?
Yeah.
When
Lawson
was, yeah, there's exactly. Hope. There's hope. Yeah.
And it was just going back and forth all game. You start off out of the gates, the Eagles are flying down the field, 14-0 right away. And you know the Saints' powerful offense are going to climb back in it. And there's just little things like the fake punt a couple fourth downs that they get. So you're just hoping at some point that the Eagles are able to stop the Saints. But, you know, I don't know. You know, as we critique it, a lot of people are talking about this in Philadelphia. You know, is it a successful season? Is it a
No, I don't think it's not a successful season. From the standpoint of you set the bar at being a Super Bowl champion.
Right.
So once you set the bar at being a Super Bowl champion, anything less than that is not considered a successful season. However, when you advance, my expectations were second round loss at New Orleans. Like I had it in August, they're going to lose. I don't know
how it
played out that way, but I also thought they weren't going to be 9-7. I said 10-6, 11-5, win the division, win a first round game, go to New Orleans and lose. But the way that the season played out, the difficulties, the adversities, all the injuries, it's hard to look back at that season and not say there's a good feeling about what these guys did, how they came together, how they were able to overcome even more, I think, in some cases, more adversity
agreed.
Than they did Super Bowl season.
Yeah, agreed. I think when you look at the totality of all the injuries,
yeah.
Rob, and how they were spread out and, you know, the vast depletion in the secondary guys just, and we're going to talk to one of them today who really stepped into a role because for, you know, 10 guys, right?
We're
getting guys, exactly. Yeah. We're signing guys off the street. I think one of the powerful things about this team, that is so easily overlooked is, the continuity and the chemistry that they have to pull together in times of adversity.
Yeah.
And it is amazing to watch. So for me, from the standpoint of that, from character, from their integrity, from what they could accomplish through the journey of disaster that they went through with so many injuries, that was extremely successful. I agree with you, Rob, from the standpoint of the expectations that were set, right? This is the new norm. Coach Peterson said last year as he stood on the steps of the Art Museum, Super Bowl party, you know, there's definitely a letdown. And I do think the way that they lost probably, even more so. You know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And, you know, when they miss the field goal and we're driving down under 3 minutes and everybody's thinking, oh, this is the next chapter.
They even got a roughing the passer
call. Right. Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
like, this is going to work out. This is destiny.
It's in the bag.
Nick's going to do it again. It's going to work this magic again. It's going to work out. And who's going to be the hero here? And it just didn't fall. The pieces didn't fall that way. But like you said, when you look at what they overcame, how they got there, the totality of the season, everything else, I think for Eagles fans out there, you have to be feeling good about it. And we talk about the depleted secondary. Last year was spread out, the injuries.
Correct.
And here, again, they were spread out. But when you lose three-fourths of your starting secondary, and nowadays in the NFL, the nickel cornerback is a starter because you're on the field for most of the snaps.
Yeah, that's right.
They lost Sidney Jones as well. He wasn't able to play. So they really lost four-fifths of their starting secondary. And they had to bring guys in, some of them off the street, some guys off the practice squad, some guys who were out of the NFL. And one of those guys who were going to have on ended up being an unsung hero, Cravon LeBlanc, a cornerback. He'll be on the show today. And he got the Eagles started in that game by making a leaping interception on Drew Brees' deep pass on the first play of the game. Also, we're going to talk to Chad Mattson in the Faith in the Field segment. Chad is the lead singer for Christian rock band Unspoken. They'll be performing in South Jersey on Saturday, January 26th, and we'll tell you how to get tickets for it. And also, if you stay tuned, we'll let you know how you can also possibly win tickets from us for that show. Both guys share stories of perseverance, overcoming difficulties, turning to the Lord, relying on Him through everything. And you guys know that when you walk into a store sometimes, you can come across that section where they sell the merchandise that's either it's been returned, it doesn't have a box, it's got a ding, it's got a slight dent on it, it could be missing a part, but it's always usable and it's always workable, so it's called as is. You got to buy it as is. You can't return it. You can't get like an insurance policy or anything else they try and sell up on it. You have to buy it the way it is right there in front of you. Well, when it comes to our salvation, it really doesn't matter what we've done in our lives or how bad of a person we think we are or how terrible our sins were or how far away from the Lord we are. God's ready to meet us and take us as is, just like that product in that store, as is. He's not asking for a finished product. He's not asking for perfection. He's not demanding that you be the person you're going to be in 20 years. He wants you right as you are, flawed, imperfect, down and out. You could even be on top of the mountain. If we give it all, fully surrender to Him and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, invite Him into our heart, invite Him into our lives, and take that journey with Him, He will work with us and work on us, whether we're addicted, broken, unwanted, in prison, diseased, troubled, selfish, whatever it is, He takes us as is. Pastor Kyle?
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about the love of Jesus and the love of God for our lives, is that we don't have to change ourselves, fix ourselves, which is impossible, that he literally takes us the way that we are. Matter of fact, there's this amazing moment in Matthew chapter 9 where Jesus is eating with people who the religious community would think were a little shady. And they would refer to them as sinners and drunkards and kind of casting dispersion at Jesus. The religious community was saying, you know, why would Jesus eat with these people? And Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Mm-hmm. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And what he's getting at is, man, look, everyone's broken. So if you think you don't need help, that's when you need help the most. You know, have you ever been around someone who says, I don't need any help. I'm fine. I can figure it out myself. I don't need help. Right? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Right?
I'm good.
So I remember, like, you know, so many of us think that, and that's such a male trait, first of all. But I remember probably the worst moment of that happened in my life. I was putting up shelves, to surprise my wife Danielle, and this is probably in the beginning of our marriage. And, man, I had lots of people I could have called to help and I just didn't. I kept saying, I'm good. I'll figure it out. 15 holes in the wall later, right? I mean, the sheetrock falling off. I'm crying. I'm so mad.
Studs, right?
Yeah, no, it was horrible. And I think that's, you know, sometimes we think you can't figure it out. You just can't. You know, the reality is, Jesus came, his very first sermon, which was so beautiful, in Luke chapter 4. He said, look, the reason I came is to bring freedom to the captives, to heal the brokenhearted, right? To give recovery of sight to the blind. There's this amazing heartbeat of God towards those who recognize that they can't be righteous on their own. And look, we're all broken, and no brokenness is worse than the other, although different brokenness can have different consequences.
Yes.
None is worse than any other. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God for everyone is eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the message for today. Just come now. Don't wait. These are going to be great testimonies that you're going to hear coming up in the next couple segments from guys that were homeless, guys that were
absolutely
addicts, guys that made it to the top, whether in the NFL, intercepting Drew Brees, or you're singing in a rock band for concerts all over the Northeast. It's not a matter of trying to get yourself right and then come to God.
It's impossible
to get yourself right.
Yeah.
I always thought that I'm good mentality, that applied to me for so many years.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'll take care of this. I've told people many times what I had to overcome and some of the issues that I dealt with and some of the things that I went through in my life. And I was always like, I'm good. I'll take care of this. I'll be fine. I'm not that bad of a person.
I only have
this one vice, but I make up for it by doing all these other good things, right? Back to the earning my way. And I'm good. I'll take care of it. And it took me 36 years. So when I tell people, like, as is come now, it doesn't matter if you're 36, 46, 56, 26, 16, or 6.
Yeah.
Come as is right now. You don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to wait any further. And sometimes it's difficult for me as I go around and I speak to a lot of different people. And I had a nice event recently in men's ministry. And I see some of these guys, and sometimes they share with me on the side after I speak. It just allows them to open up. And they share with me some of, like, really intimate details about some of the things that they've done wrong in their lives. And I tell them, but it doesn't make you worse than the person next to you.
Yes, correct.
Just the same way, if that person is of a model citizen, doesn't make him better than you. It doesn't make you any different. And God accepts you right there, right where you are, no matter what. He accepts you as is. And to speak to guys and then to see grown men cry when they sense that, when
absolutely
they feel that, when they hear that, it's such a powerful thing. And that's why it led me to want to have this conversation today, because I had that experience just this past weekend and seeing grown men cry because they finally, someone had it. It took someone else saying it to them at that particular point, that, hey, God accepts you as you are. And I feel like too often in life, too many of us feel like, I'm so far gone. I did so much wrong.
Yeah.
I did so much bad. I'm such a terrible person. I did this, that, and the other. And we experience this when we go in prison, Doug.
I was just thinking that.
When we go in there and we see guys who may be, they're punished. They're behind bars for what they did wrong. Yet sometimes I see so much freedom in them. Sometimes I see these guys, even though they're behind bars, they're free internally, they're free emotionally, they're free spiritually, because they've come to accept the Lord. And even though they're behind bars and they can't do anything about their physical circumstance, it's their spiritual and their emotional life that has been freed. And they have that power to impact others there. And then who knows what happens when they get out. And we tell them that all the time. So I really can't stress this enough to all of our listeners today and everyone hearing this. It doesn't really matter what you've done, where you've been, or what you've had to overcome. It's always, God is there waiting for you as is. But you can't just go to him and expect him to change everything if you don't do it wholeheartedly. And that's the thing, Pastor Kyle. Sometimes we go, hey, I'm so broken, I'm going to just give it all to the Lord. But then we don't change our lives or do anything different about our circumstance.
Yeah.
It's not like it's going to work like magic. He's going to instantly transform your life if you're still associating with the same people, if you're still doing the same things but expecting a different result.
Yeah, actually, Rob, you know, we just talked about this past week at church. It's just about this moment where there's a man who's possessed by a legion of demons. And he didn't do anything. He didn't have any capacity in and of himself to be set free, right? And this isn't even something that maybe he did wrong. This is just what's happening in his life, his circumstance. Jesus rolls up and sets him free. supernaturally. But then there's this, there's still a pursuit. There's a pursuit of holiness. There's a pursuit of wholeness. There's a pursuit of righteousness. There's a pursuit. You know, it's going to be great later on. I know we have interviews coming up with guys that have been bound in some stuff before, talking about freedom. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
Freedom is the ability to do what I couldn't do without Jesus. And that really is what true freedom is. And
say that again.
Yeah, freedom. You know, Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ came to set you free, mm-hmm. no longer to be enslaved to slavery, to sin. Freedom is true. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever I want to do. That's how our generation defines it. It's the ability to do what I couldn't do without Jesus.
Right.
I couldn't be holy. I couldn't live whole. I couldn't actually have the mind of Christ. I couldn't think right all the time about my circumstance. I couldn't actually have pure hope. I couldn't love my neighbor as myself without Jesus. I could love, but I couldn't love unconditionally. There are all these things that actually give me the ability to have freedom when I come to Jesus. But just because I have the ability, it doesn't mean I actually walk in it.
You know, Rob, you talk a lot about being a fan of Christ, being a follower of Christ, and being a disciple of Christ, and how we transition. Because Chad has a great testimony, just what you're talking about, Kyle, where he was saved at a young age, but he never experienced that giving my entire life to Christ and letting go of myself and what I'm enslaved to. And Rob, I was right there with you when you're talking about going into prisons, because, you know, you talk to one of those guys, and they're thankful for being in prison. And that's where God has them at that point. They're able to minister and they're able to have fellowship. And they seem more free than maybe people on the outside would be. And really what separates them from a lot of people is that they got caught for what they did.
Yeah.
And they're paying the consequence. But they're sinners. We're sinners on the outside. So therefore, we're still the same.
Correct.
We just live in a different place.
Yeah.
And you know, that freedom that we're able to find, whether you're in prison, whether you're in another country, or whether you're just you know, at your house or your workplace, just find that in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. I also want to bring it, just swing it to the other side, because I think Rob, what you start out saying is so powerful. We're going to look at guys in prison and go, of course they need it. Of course. Yeah. They messed up their lives. I'm not in prison.
I'm good.
I have to swing it back. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. What he was saying, he was actually making an impossible standard for people. Because the Pharisees tithe, they gave things up. I mean, there were Pharisees literally who would walk around blindfolded, because they didn't want to look at a woman. So they'd like walk into walls. They were called the bloodied and the bruised Pharisees, because they'd always have black eyes and blood. Like, they were doing things that we would never even think about doing. Come on. And yet Jesus turned to his crowd and said, unless your righteousness exceeds that, you'll never see it. The beautiful thing about what he's saying is he's not making it an impossible standard because he doesn't want people to reach it. He's making an impossible standard so that you and I, all of us, no matter how good we think we are, realize that we could never on our own accomplish that. And that's where surrender comes in.
Yeah.
So no matter whether I'm in prison or whether I'm a guy that could never see myself ever going to prison, I'm at the bottom of the societal rung or the top of it. If I'm not perfect, even if it's by one thing, if I'm guilty of one, the Bible says I'm guilty of it all.
That's so good. And I'm glad you took it back to the other side, because I was emphasizing the being broken and addicted and having issues and being down and out. Yet at the same time, we're also talking about you could feel that you're better than, you're too good. And like, as I was saying, I always thought, I'm good. I'll take care of that. I'm good. I didn't realize what I was missing out on, that relationship with the Lord, the help that I needed, once I finally came to the conclusion that my ego and my arrogance and my perception of self, that I'm good, I'm okay, was really flawed. That wasn't the case. I needed help.
Yes.
I could not do it on my own. I was not willing to make those changes. I was too happy living the life that I was living. I was too having too much fun surrounding myself with the people I was surrounding myself with. And once I realized that, hey, I am not good, no matter what everyone else is telling me, because see, sometimes people are always feeding into
Absolutely.
You and telling you, you're so good, you're so great, this is awesome, everything's fun, life is wonderful, and you got this, that, and you're showboating and flashing and doing all that stuff, but really, internally, you don't have anything.
Correct.
You don't have it all. You're missing out, and that's why we're saying today, come to the Lord as is. From whatever situation you're in, no matter where you are in life, come to the Lord. He accepts you as is, as you are, right there, right now. When we come back on Faith on the Field show, presented by Karen University, we're going to hear from Philadelphia Eagles cornerback Cravon LeBlanc.
2 Timothy says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidness, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Hi, I'm Kevin Harvey, the team chaplain for the Philadelphia 76ers and the Southern New Jersey Fellowship of Christian Athletes Area Director. We are a sports ministry that ministers to and through the coach while serving athletes and coaches at every level, from junior high through professional. The Bible talks about a love that is not timid. FCA is boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ. We are a faith-funded ministry and minister directly in the most critical mission field in America, our public schools. If you are a coach, athlete, or a sports-minded Christian, please prayerfully consider joining the FCA team. Go to fca.org and contact your local FCA rep. We are praying for donors, volunteers, athletes, and coaches to come off the sideline and into the game. That's fca.org. Remember, timidness and fear aren't from God. We are called to walk in God's power and His love.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. If you've missed any of our previous episodes, Doug will tell you how you can catch up.
Yeah, check out our website, faithonthefieldshow.com, and you can find every past episode and listen at your convenience. Make sure you're following us on all social media, at Faith on the Field, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we have some pretty cool merchandise still out there. We have our t-shirts, we have Rob's book, where you can get signed copies of Birds of Prey, about the 2017 Super Bowl champion Eagles. Just write who you want it addressed to, a little note in the notes section, and we'll mail it on out to you.
And as I mentioned in the previous segment, I had an opportunity to speak to a men's ministry group last week at Calvary Full Gospel Church in Fairless Hills, PA, and they've actually been doing a chapter-by-chapter study on Birds of Prey. I think they're up to like chapter 13.
That's pretty cool.
And I thought, I thought that was really cool. And it was such a great group of guys there, very welcoming, encouraging. The worship team did such an awesome job.
Just phenomenal. Set
everybody up for me. And I'm always grateful for all of these speaking opportunities. Cravon LeBlanc was such an unknown that when the Eagles scouting staff went to defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz to say, hey, we're looking at this guy. He was just released by Detroit. What do you think? Schwartz said he didn't even know who he was. But then by the end of the season, a week before after the first playoff game, as they're going into that New Orleans game, Schwartz says, I don't know where we'd be without Cravon LeBlanc. Here's a guy he didn't know who he was, and now I don't know where we'd be. Cravon has such a fascinating story. Doctors told his mom that it was either him or her. It was too risky for her to give birth, and she prayed about it with her pastor and the pastor's wife and decided to continue with her pregnancy. And I believe the pastor said, your son is going to be chosen. And they both ended up just fine, but then Cravon's dad passed away at a young age. I believe he was like 44 years old, and Cravon was only 15 when that happened. And Cravon's brother ended up in jail for something that he did, and he went on to Florida Atlantic and didn't get drafted, signed with the Patriots in 2016, got cut at the end of training camp, signed with the Bears, ended up playing two seasons in Chicago, had a pick six against Matthew Stafford in December 2016. Then he signs with the Lions, ends up being Stafford's teammate at the start of the 2018 season, but he gets cut midway through the season, and if the Philadelphia Eagles pick him up because of all those injuries we mentioned in the secondary early on. He ends up being a starter down the stretch as the starting nickel cornerback. And in that playoff win against the Bears, he covered Tariq Cohen, the running back, who's their leading receiver coming out of the backfield. They didn't want to put a linebacker on him. They had to use their nickelback on him, and he shut him down. I think it was three catches against the Saints, as we said already. He had that pick to start the game against Drew Brees. He goes from an uncertain future to someone I would think the Eagles will absolutely want in their secondary next year, and most likely goes into the season, depending on what happens in training camp and mini camps and the draft and everything else, as probably the starting nickel cornerback. I caught up with Cravon LeBlanc last week. Here's that interview. Cravon, tell me what it means to you to be able to go out there, have a great performance like you did the other day, and then the first thing you do, I notice on social media, is give praise to the Lord and say, let me shine His light. What does that mean to you to be able to shine the Lord's light?
It means a lot. Just, you know, I'm a kid from West Palm Beach, Florida, raised in Belgrade, grew up in a tough environment, you know, lost my dad at 15. So things were, you know, I would say a little rocky. And I would say from everything I've been through and just like hurdles galore, just clearing all the hurdles, I have no choice but to give thanks to the Lord, because without him, I wouldn't be here. And just me hitting my knees every morning or every night, just giving him thanks, giving him praise, or just me just tweeting a simple tweet, just showing him the appreciation and the thanks that, you know what I'm saying, to show him that I'm grateful for the opportunity that he gave me, because, you know, I was released from Chicago, I was released from Detroit, and he continued to still, you know what I'm saying, bless me. So with that being said, now that, you know, my hard work and everything that I put into, you know what I'm saying, my craft in this game we call football, it's amazing, it's impeccable, and I just want the average kid to know, whether it's either from my hometown or from wherever, whoever need that motivation, who feel like they can't, or, you know, it's hard to do so, I just want you to know, like, you know, if as long as you keep God first, it'll all work out in the end. Sky's the limit.
You said you had a lot of hurdles to overcome. You lose your dad at a young age. You could have gone in so many different directions. Like, you could have spiraled downward, and instead you persevered, and here you are in the National Football League playing in playoff games and making plays and all that stuff. How much of that was your reliance on your faith, relying on God that carried you through those tough times?
I would say I relied on him a lot. You know, I always grew up in the church. My mom and my dad always kept me in the church. And even when, you know, saying things wasn't going right, you know, I sometimes even slept in the church. And my mom would sometimes take me to the beach. We'll go on walks, pray amongst the waters, and just, you know what I'm saying, wash our sins away. And, you know what I'm saying, it's like real special moments. Mm-hmm. And like from then to now, like I've always gave him praise. I always relied on my faith in him and in myself. So I would definitely say 110% facts.
Well, God's always got a better plan for us than we do, and you end up in a place coming to a team where you got a strong Christian bond on this team, a strong brotherhood. How long did it take you to notice that here in this locker room among these guys, and how much does it help to have guys like that encouraging you?
Oh, man, since I got here, just, you know what I'm saying, being able to gel with the guys, being able to know that this team is just no regular or average team, like, it's more than just a team. It's a brotherhood. We all keep each other accountable. If one's down and out, you know, we'll talk to one another. We'll help that person, you know what I'm saying, get through whatever he's getting through. And just living in positive things, positive light, you know, making sure we pray together, making sure, like, you know, if it can be a simple scripture we can send to one another, just, you know what I'm saying, a simple scripture can go so far, you know. So with that, I feel like that's amazing, and you never know, you know what I'm saying, what that can do to a person internally.
Is there any scripture that's speaking to you right now in this period of your life, in this season of your life, as you guys are getting ready to continue here in the postseason?
Oh, man.
I know I put you on the spot. It's a tough one.
I would, I could say Psalms 144.
Okay.
And it says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle."
What about that?
Just... I mean, well, as you know, like, I dislocated my finger, like, 2 weeks ago, the Texans, and...
Did you have anybody lay hands on that finger, man?
Nah.
Come
on.
I just
put some oil on this thing.
Okay.
And said a couple prayers.
You got to call Pastor Ted. get him to lay hands on that, but...
And, you know, that just goes to show you, man, with faith, at the end of the day, God got you. no matter what the case may be. Like, once you pray about it, you don't, it's no sense of worrying about it. And, you know, I'm a firm believer of that.
Well, Craven, thank you for taking a few minutes to spend with us here on Faith on the Field show. We wish you a ton of blessings.
Thank you.
That was Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Craven LeBlanc. I love what he said at the end there. When you pray about something, don't worry about it anymore. And I try. It's difficult. That's easy
it's
to
so
say.
Hard, yeah.
It's so difficult to apply. But sometimes I'll say that I have people in my life, in my family, not internally in my home, but externally, who will worry a lot, a lot. They worry about everything, and I say that go. But they pray about it, and I go, you're going against everything that God stood for, because once you put your faith in Him, what can your worry accomplish?
Yeah, Jesus says that, right? He
it's
says
difficult.
It all the time. Worry, yeah. By worry, can you add, you know, 1 year to your life, one hair to your head? No, of course not. We teach the guys all the time that prayer is the place where burdens exchange hands. I give God my burden. He gives me His. Now, the beautiful thing about that is Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, you know, come to me when you're weary, tired, heavy laden, when you've got a lot on your life. Make this exchange and I'll give you my yoke, but it's easy. My burden that I'm going to give you back is light. Yeah. So, you know, that's what we need to allow prayer to be, is this conversation between God, between God and us, that just says, God, here's the burdens of my life and I'm willing to exchange them. So, I want to worry about this. So can you worry about it for me? Right. There's nothing wrong with wanting to worry. It's a natural human, fallen human expression. But, you know, we're called to actually not live by natural means, but by supernatural.
It depends on how fast you can get to that point. You know, I'm trying to handle it. I'm going to take it.
Absolutely.
For me.
Surrender.
And go through it. And hey, I got this. Just like we've been talking about. But when you finally realize, hey, you know what? I'm going to turn it over to God at this point. Then you let it go. But that worry time in between there before,
exactly.
before you give it up, it's stressful and it's hard. It is amazing how when you turn it over to God, how things change. Your mindset changes, your heart
Absolutely.
Changes, your worry changes. I guess the practice for our listeners, the practical application is get to that point earlier.
I think there's this moment where we pray and then start to rejoice.
Yes.
And that's where we have to we faith is believing. You know, faith says it is so even when it's not so, so that it will be so. So. If I already know what's coming, I can praise Him before it gets there. And I think that's that, you know, where in 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul says, you know, with everything, rejoice with God with everything. Always rejoice yeah. all the time in every way and everything. I do think with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make our request to God.
It's a great point with everything, because sometimes we think the small
everything.
Things is what we can take care of. I'm only going to turn the big things over
yeah.
to God. But God commands us everything.
I'm really bad at that part, the everything
Well, I am
part.
Too, so yeah, let's
the,
be honest.
The small,
yeah,
the
totally.
Small things where I'm still going back to that mentality of I'm good there. I'm okay.
I take care of this.
That's too small. I don't, sometimes I actually have felt like I don't want to burden God with this little small thing, and that's where He says, like, He cares about every hair on your head.
Yeah, everything.
He cares about every aspect of your life. And I'm like, yeah, and you have to get there. You go back to what Jesus said there in Matthew, come to me weary. It's basically, yeah. come to me as is.
Correct, totally.
Come to me as is.
That verse is fantastic, Rob, with what you're talking about. Come to me just as is. You're yeah. weary, you're tired, you're heavy laden. You know, Jesus' very first message on the Sermon on the Mount, talking about what His kingdom was going to be, the very first thing He said was, blessed are the poor in spirit,
yeah.
for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, look, just recognize you're just poor in spirit. It's okay. It's not a darkness on you. Right. It's not a shout about what you're
yeah.
not. It's not shade. Jesus isn't casting shade on somebody.
Right.
This is just a recognition, man, I'm not, I can't, it's okay, but He can.
That's incredible, guys. And before we wrap up this segment, though, it is Championship Sunday. It is Championship Weekend. Our predictions have been good and bad over the course of the season. So let's
just admit it. Yours have been good. That's what you really want to say.
You know,
whatever.
We've had some right on, and we've had some that are emotional. So let's give. and you know what? This might be a little bit of an emotional pick. This weekend, but let's go ahead, Doug. You start out with Championship Sunday. Let's go NFC first. It's going to be Saints home against the L.A. Rams. The Rams were really impressive on the ground.
Yeah,
on the ground, C.J. Anderson.
Anderson and Gurley back
to back.
Who
was really cool to see afterwards, giving thanks to God, giving glory to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he was very impressive. They're going to play in New Orleans, in the Superdome, on the road. Who do you like in that game?
Rob, I'm going to go way back to when we did our predictions preseason when I picked the Chiefs and the Saints to go to the Super Bowl. So my predictions are still available. They're still alive.
Yours are still holding.
They're still holding there. So, you know, I went against you with maybe a Patriots pick and went with Andy Reid for his Super Bowl run. So I'm going to go Saints and I'm going to go Chiefs. So that's what I picked in the beginning of the season. I'm still alive, so I'm going to stick with it.
You're going to go Saints and Chiefs.
I think if the game was out in L.A., my pick would be a little different. You know, my heart says I'd really love, you know, the Rams to do it. And I do think if they can ball control, it'll be. But what a great opportunity to see Brady and Breeze. Two oldest quarterbacks go at it would be pretty cool.
I'm going to go with Brady and Breeze. That's what I've had since August. I'm going to stick with it, Brady and Breeze. I think it's going to be tough for New England to have to go to Arrowhead.
Yeah.
I do feel that the weather there, the frigid Arctic air, what's happening in Kansas City is actually going to benefit New England because they've suddenly turned into a ball control. They have the ability to run the ball. Kansas City, not so much now without Kareem Hunt. They rely a lot on the pass. I don't know what the winds are going to be gusting at, if that's going to affect Patrick Mahomes at all. So I'm going to go with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick finding a way to pull that one out and end up in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to stick with the Saints. They're at home. I think that this is a team that with Drew Brees factor, if the game comes down to the last 2 minutes, last 3 minutes, which quarterback do I want with the ball? If you look around the landscape of the NFL, there's three guys that I would say I want to have the ball: Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Nick Foles. And who would have thought we'd put Nick Foles in that conversation?
No,
but Nick Foles right there is in that conversation. And Drew Brees is going to be playing in that game. So I take Drew Brees over Jared Goff, who, by the way, I did love to that play where the Rams had the naked bootleg and to run out. That was Sean McVay.
He's
just
brilliant.
A tremendous coach too as well. It'll be fun. It'll be great to see. And next week we'll do our Super Bowl predictions. When we come back on Faith on the Field show, presented by Karen University, we're going to hear from Chad Mattson, the lead singer for Christian rock band Unspoken.
The Lighthouse Events presents the Just Give Me Jesus Tour with Unspoken. Unspoken, live at Chestnut Assembly of God in Vineland, New Jersey. Saturday, January 26th at 7 p.m. Unspoken, the Just Give Me Jesus Tour with Unspoken. Tickets and info for Unspoken at thelighthouseevents.com.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and Doug Horton. Joining us for Faith in the Field is Chad Mattson, the lead singer for Unspoken. They will be at Vineland, New Jersey, Saturday, January 26th. Doug, tell everyone how they can get their tickets.
Well, Rob, we're really happy to be able to partner with the Lighthouse Events to promote this upcoming show, and we're giving you the opportunity to win free tickets. So we'll have some Facebook announcements, but what you need to do is just go to faithonthefieldshow.com and sign up for our weekly email list. That's going to give you our new blog that's out there and our weekly episode. So sign up for the email list. We'll do a drawing, and you can win two free tickets to the upcoming show with Unspoken. And we'll announce the winners on Monday, January 21st. The other thing that Lighthouse Events is allowing us to do is give you a discount. Use the code FOTF, Faith on the Field, and you'll get $5 off your ticket price at thelighthouseevents.com. And so it's going to be a pretty cool concert.
I didn't know that.
That's pretty good.
So
we
got a little coupon code. So
how about that? So if you don't win tickets, you want to go buy tickets, you get a discount using
FOTF. Yeah, save you $5. So it's at thelighthouseevents.com, and they do events all throughout the Northeast. And also joining Unspoken is Dave Pettigrew and Des Childs. So they'll be opening for Unspoken. It should be a pretty cool concert. And you guys will hear a little bit from Chad as we come up.
Very cool. Unspoken released their debut single, Who You Are, in 2012. They've had four top five songs, and Start a Fire reached number one. I spoke with Chad Mattson recently. Here is that interview. Chad, you grew up in a church. You were a believer in Christ at a young age, but you had to conquer some issues, a drug addiction. How did God lift you from that despair and lead you on a path to where you are now, the lead singer for Unspoken?
Well, I would say probably it really started back in the day when I was 12. I mean, I got saved when I was 12. I believed in Jesus. I believed that I was a sinner. I was in need of redemption. I believed that in my 12-year-old mind, but I just never had the power to live the way I should. And because I didn't live the way I should, I felt like, you know, too ashamed and too filthy and unworthy. And so it kind of kept me far from God in a way. And then that kind of just led into, you know, just being in the wrong places at the wrong times and making the wrong decisions, which, you know, you think as a young person, you think freedom is the choice to choose whatever you want to do. But a lot of times, our free will just makes us slaves of things we can't control. And, so that's kind of where I found myself there. But I will say this, that we as believers must look to, the Bible to get our truth, because there's a lot of things that our culture tells us. There's a lot of things that our own minds tell us and convince us of. But if it doesn't line up with the Bible, then it doesn't mean squat. It's just emotion or whatever. So there's a verse in Philippians 1:6 that basically says, God starts a work and he finishes it.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'm just seeing that play out in my own life. Started at a young age. I got lost along the way, but thank God he didn't lose me. And, you know, he's finishing that work he started when I was a kid. And so my encouragement to people that, you know, have kids that are prodigals and kids that are, you know, kind of dabbling in the wrong things, or maybe they're straight up in addiction or walked away from God, I just believe that God starts a work, he finishes it. We don't see anything in the scriptures that God left unfinished. And why would our souls, which would be the most important thing to him, why would he leave that unfinished? And so that's kind of my story there. But in a little bit more detail, I found a card from a missionary that my brother gave it to me. And so I called these missionaries and asked if I could go hang out with them right in the middle of my addiction. And they said yes. And so I got on a plane out of Boston, Massachusetts, and February 4th, 2003, early in the morning, and flew to Miami and then to the Dominican Republic. And I literally was holding on to my, you know, addiction up until the last moment. But when I hit that plane, I opened up the Word and I just said, God, help me. I have no clue. I have no power. I can't do it. And I opened up the Word to Romans 12. And there it talks about giving your life, your body as a sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing, which didn't really mean much to me at the time. But Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the making new of your mind. And New Living Translation puts it like this, let God change the way you think. And so for an hour every day in a country I didn't speak the language, got a people I didn't know, even though I loved it down there and my time was so amazing. I read the Bible, I prayed for an hour, and his word literally changed the way I thought about things, and my life followed suit, and I'm so grateful.
Man, that's amazing. Your testimony, Chad, is a powerful reminder that we're never too far away from God. No matter what we've done or how bad we think that we may be, his grace is really offered to all of us if we want it. What can you say to our listeners kind of to reinforce that idea so they know that they're still within God's reach despite anything that they did in their life, despite any issues that they may have, or no matter what anyone says about them?
I mean, I can, you know, when looking back at my life, I think the one of the main thoughts that comes to my head is that God is willing to accept us in whatever condition we're willing to bring ourselves to him. So if that's completely broken or you think you're all right, whatever you are going through, whatever it looks like, he's willing to accept you in that place. No questions. And I say it's very interesting after walking with the Lord and being sober now almost 16 years. I would say that, there's a lot of believers, people that have been walking with the Lord that are struggling with, right, whatever, pornography or, you know, unfaithful in their marriages or, you know, I don't know what it may be, alcohol. I mean, it could be anything. There's a million more things that are just as important as all of those. But, sometimes we think that even though we're children of God, because we're acting a fool, because we're doing all these wrong things, that God's disqualified us. And it's very interesting what David said in the Psalms. He said, a righteous man falls seven times, but gets up again. And the interesting thing about that is that when we get saved, Jesus' righteousness, his right standing with God, and he's the middleman between a sinful people and a holy God. He paid it. No man or woman can come to God except through him. But when we get saved, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. So we are righteous. And so the interesting thing about what David said is that he knew that his righteousness wasn't all on his own shoulders. And that because he knew who he was, he knew he could continually fall and continually get back up again, because it wasn't about the things he did or didn't do. It was about the fact that God, you know, loves us and has covered us, and doesn't give us a free will or free rein to sin. But if we choose to do that, you know, God still loves us, but we suffer the consequences of living, you know, a foolish, you know, painful life. And so anyway, I'm not a theologian by any means. I just know that God's grace is huge. And at any moment, you know, his mercy is new every morning, any moment, any place, any time. We can come to God with all of our junk, no matter what the situation, whether a deacon in a church or a drug addict that doesn't know the Lord. And God will accept us and help us walk through whatever we're going through and give us the victory.
Amen. That's powerful. Chad, when you've overcome demons in your life like you have, the way I've done, sometimes people from your past, they'll see you. This happens to me often. I'll run into somebody and they'll notice, like, there's a change in you. Like, you're different. You're not the same. How do you react in those situations? Is it like, I got Jesus? Or do you use those moments as just an opportunity to witness? And how important is it to seize that opportunity?
I mean, I think it's obviously important. You know, I think, there was definitely a darkness in my life, especially around that drug culture, that literally when I got back from the Dominican Republic, it was like light had come into my eyes and my soul. And it was visibly, people would do the exact same thing. There is something different about you. What is it? And it was just an opportunity for me to say, man, Jesus changed my life. I mean, straight up, I went to church my whole life, you know, but I actually encountered God, and it's the best and the most amazing thing that I've been able to be a part of, because there's no guilt or shame or condemnation anymore. And so obviously use those times, but I do think that as a culture, you know, we like to talk a lot. I'm guilty of this so much. So, I mean, I think, you know, the people around us are looking for the way that we act and the way that we love people, the way that we serve people and meet people's needs and all of that. And, you know, so I think, you know, talk is good. And I think we take those opportunities, but I think we all like to talk, and I put myself in this, talk more than we like to act. And I really think that that's something I'm working on, as an individual, and talking with my young kids and my family about that as well, saying, you know, man, our lives should be the light. We are the light, because the light lives in us.
That's beautiful. Chad, when did you realize that I have this gift? I can serve the Lord in this way by singing, by being a guy who leads a group that's in worship music. When did you realize that, recognize that, and make that your career?
Well, I think, you know, I was telling you earlier, I always wanted to be a professional basketball player when I grew up.
Yeah.
But the problem was I never grew up. And so that wasn't in the cards for me. And so I would say music was probably 10% of my life from when I was 16 on. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't something like I sang at my brother's wedding. I played in a couple little, side bands that played a couple shows. And so really, when I got saved, it was like the Lord, touched me, you know, like, I would say it was like his anointing was on it. His power was in it. And music has power, just straight up. You know, the Bible talks about how, the first king of Israel, Saul, had been given many chances, and finally God takes his spirit from Saul, and he plans to have David become king, and Saul is tormented by spirits. And you would think, now in our culture, you would think, man, we got to get a priest or a pastor or somebody in there, and they got to read him the scriptures and pray over him. But what they did was they called a skillful musician, which happened to be David, to come in and play melodies on a harp. And it didn't even say that he sang songs with lyrics. It just saying, so we know that music has power to move the heart of men and women. And so I guess like when, and even now, like we're moved by songs that aren't Christian songs. I mean, they're songs that move us, you know, that just, it's a language we all speak, which is really fun part about being able to be a musician. I get to use a language to communicate hope and the love of God. And it is a language that everybody speaks, whether they resonate with the lyrics or not. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I remember while I was in the Dominican, I met our original guitar player who, after 15 years, just left about a year ago to pursue another career, successful realtor down here in Nashville. But I met him, and a few months after being in the Dominican, we moved back to Maine. And while I was in the Dominican, we recorded a CD for $300. I called my parents and said, sent $300, I'll pay you back, but I really want to record the CD in the Dominican. And we had written songs, and there was, I played the CD for my mom when I got back, and she was like, and that there's something special about this. And I think that in that kind of season, I realized, man, if I could use anything that I had to serve the Lord, to give back to God, then I'd do it. And so that's kind of when I realized that it wasn't just about having a good voice. It was way more than that. And music's just been a tool to love on people and hopefully help them feel loved. And so it's just fun. It's a really fun, I mean, it's not easy. It hasn't been easy at all, but it's been a fun journey using this very special way of communication.
That's an awesome journey, Chad. We look forward to seeing you here in Unspoken in concert at Chestnut Assembly of God in Vineland, New Jersey, Saturday, January 26th. Thank you so much for spending some time sharing part of your story and your journey with us here on Faith on the Field show.
Hey, man, I'm real excited about this New Jersey show. I always love to come up to the Northeast. The best gas station to get lunch at in the whole country is Wawa. So, you know, anytime we're in the land of Wawa. But I will say, we got two guys from Puerto Rico, two guys from Maine, a dude from Florida. The music's diverse. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. It's going to be a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to come and bring people that don't know the Lord. Even though it's in a church, you know, we don't think we have all the answers to life's questions, but we're going to present the gospel in a real transparent way. We're going to use the music, and it's going to be fun. And it's nothing that any of our, you know, people have to be ashamed. It's not, the music is good. You know, we've worked hard to create songs that are great. I'm just wanted to pitch that at the end, just to say that, you know, we work really hard to communicate to both believers and non-believers through our music. And so it's a great opportunity for the church, but as well for the church to bring the people that are around them.
That's what it's all about, man, bringing those non-believers and just inspiring them in any way so they can see what it's like and want to be part of it and want to join that kingdom culture and be part of that, man. So we appreciate it. Thank you so much, Chad. Looking forward to seeing you.
All right, brother.
That was Chad Mattson, lead singer for Christian rock band Unspoken, joining us for Faith in the Field. He'll be here with the band in the area in Vineland, New Jersey on Saturday the 26th. Chad, as he told us, overcame addiction, turned his life around, and now walks closely with the Lord because he wasn't afraid to go to him as is. And that's been the theme of our show today. Chad talks about Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I feel that's just a great reminder that God's work for us, it began when Christ died on the cross in our place, and his work within us began when we first made that decision to believe it. And the Holy Spirit after that begins to live in us so we could be more like Christ each and every day. It's not easy. Some days it's going to look tougher. It's going to be harder. But God has never stopped working on us. He will continue to work on us throughout our lifetime. And I challenge you to look through the Bible and see where he doesn't complete his work. Pastor Kyle?
Yeah, look, it's... you know, in this process, can I encourage our listeners, just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. Keep showing up for your marriage. Keep showing up for your destiny. Keep showing up for your relationship with God. Just keep showing up. You know, we say every week in church, you know, give church a year, you know. If you give God a year, really just kind of go after it. Just keep showing up. You may be in the same seat, in the same church, but you won't be the same person. And that's it. This thing is not about being perfect. It's about a continued walk in a relationship, one step closer every day to Jesus. So no matter where you are today in your walk with God, maybe you haven't started one today, can you just take one step closer to him today? Because as you step closer to him, he'll run to you.
He'll take you the way you are, as is, imperfect or perfect, whatever you think you may be. None of us are perfect, but he will take you as is. So we encourage you. Take it all to him. Go to him as you are, wherever you are in your life. If that's what you're feeling, you don't have that relationship with the Lord. If you haven't made that decision to accept our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today's your day. It's never been about tomorrow. Amen. Today is your day. Thank you to everyone watching and listening. I want to thank our guest, Philadelphia Eagles cornerback, Cravon LeBlanc, Chad Mattson, the lead singer for Unspoken. A big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for all of the excellent work that he does on our website, on our podcast, now on our blog. He always does his best to make us present a little bit better. Thank you to our wives for the time that they sacrifice to allow us to be here and do this. Thanks to Brett Kronberger for producing the show. Big thanks to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. And a big shout out to our program sponsor, Karen University. For Kyle and Doug, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.